Today we are here with Dr. Allison Ostroff, our new Chief Medical Officer for Mosaic Senior Life. Dr. Ostroff received her training in geriatrics at Mount Sinai and is double board certified in both internal medicine and geriatrics. She has been working in Fairfield County for over 15 years. Welcome, Dr. Ostroff. Thank you so much for coming today. We are so happy to have you as part of our team here at Mosaic Senior Life.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Many people may not be familiar with what a geriatrician is exactly. Can you let us know what a geriatrician is and who can benefit from seeing one?
Absolutely. Great question. So most of us receive our training in internal medicine or family medicine, where we learn all about adults in general, so anyone age 18 and over. But in order to receive specialized training in geriatrics, one needs to complete a fellowship, which is 1 or 2 years. And we learn specifically about the issues that befall older adults. And what constitutes an older adult is someone who is 65 and over. And that can go upwards of 100 or 100 plus, as we know. And the issues are different as one gets older. Certainly metabolism changes, the way that we metabolize medications, the doses of medications change. There are issues specific to older adults, such as dementia, depression, falls is a big one with osteoporosis and hip fracture, urinary incontinence, issues of social work, where do we go as we age, do we stay home, certain things like that. So we often wear a geriatric psychiatry hat, we wear a social work hat, and we wear our internal medicine hat, and we put them all together, often in a multidisciplinary approach to our older adults so that they can get the best care we can possibly provide.
Great. And what is your role here at Mosaic Senior Life?
So at Mosaic Senior Life, I primarily in my day to day, I am seeing patients here at the Mosaic Jewish Home, where I take care of or will be taking care of approximately half of the patients that live here, both in assisted living, memory care, and of course, long term care, as well as seeing our acute rehab patients. Additionally, what I'm doing is I'm overseeing all of the staff, so the clinical staff in particular, so nursing, the CNAs, making sure that we're following state regulations and state guidelines, overseeing our Institute on Aging, the various work we do with elder abuse and neglect, our home care programs, as well as our adult day program. So it really encompasses quite a lot.
Great. So Dr. Ostroff, since you're so deeply involved in the care for the elderly, what are some upcoming innovations you're seeing in geriatric care?
Excellent question. There are so many innovations every day. It's actually hard to keep up with what's up and coming. Small things such as Alexa, Apple Watches, where they can actually track with a GPS system if somebody does fall, as opposed to just wearing the Life Alert button, which seniors don't like wearing a very obvious button or a bracelet that makes them, quote, feel old. I often explain that doesn't make you feel or look old. It shows that you are safe and wise. But one of the newest systems I'm very excited about is called PureWick, and they're using it in most of the hospitals now. It's for patients, specifically female patients, with urinary incontinence, and it prevents the use of a Foley catheter. And the reason we'd like to prevent the use of a Foley catheter is that it increases our risk of developing a urinary tract infection. And as you may know, urinary tract infections can be quite devastating in older adults, both because of the infection itself, which could lead to sepsis, but also in anyone with any sort of cognitive issue, it can cause delirium, cause a generalized worsening of their baseline cognitive status. So this PureWick system is privately purchased by a family if they decide to use it. It's about $500, and you often need to replenish the supplies, the tubing, things like that every month, which could increase the cost a bit. And it's almost something that suctions to the female vulva that is often used overnight. So as the patient is incontinent and urine is flowing overnight, instead of it going into an adult Depends or a diaper, where it then sits and could potentially cause an infection or some skin breakdown, it travels into a bag, same as a Foley catheter, And it is protecting against those things like urinary tract infections or wounds. And patients have reported that they really don't feel the system being there, that it prevents them from waking up and feeling like they need to use the bathroom, but not being able to get there in time. And it's really not invasive. So I'm very excited about the system. I'm pleased that the hospitals are using it. I think it's decreasing the urinary tract infections and the need for rehospitalizations.
Do we see this in the next 5 or 10 years coming into assisted livings, long-term care?
I really, really hope so. Great question. I have suggested it to a couple of my assisted living patients in particular, and the families have purchased it, and I've gotten great feedback. It really does depend on the patient. If someone has a profound dementia and is not going to tolerate having something on their body, they're going to pull at it. It's certainly not worth the family spending the money on such a system. If it's a patient who is more cognitively intact, is able to understand why this is beneficial, then we could use it and prevent the use of some of the medications for incontinence or overactive bladder, which come with their own myriad of side effects.
And how do they purchase it?
It's online.
Okay.
I don't know the website. It's probably something like purewick.com.
Okay.
And they purchase it online, and I believe it's delivered to their home or to our home, and then sounds like it's quite easy to utilize.
That's great. So another subject, there have been many studies in the news about medications and how they affect dementia prevention. Can you talk about what you have learned as a professional about certain medications?
Sure. So the medications that we have available, not necessarily for prevention, but for dementia in general, many people have heard of. So there's Aricept, the generic name of which is Tadepazil. There's Namenda, the generic name of which is Memantine. And these medications do not reverse dementia. They, in some patients, slow down the loss of memory. Again, I'm not saying that they completely reverse dementia, and they don't slow down the loss of memory in everyone, specific to Alzheimer's disease, not a vascular dementia or a Parkinson's related dementia. The medications, as medications often do, come with several side effects. And if someone can tolerate the medications, great. It's worth giving them a shot. They're often not tolerated because of things such as diarrhea or nightmares. So people are now turning to over-the-counter medications and saying, what can we do to better our memory? And we're seeing a whole lot of commercials, or if you walk through the aisles at CVS, there's a million different medications. So what really works? I hate seeing patients spending their money, tens or hundreds of dollars a month on something that I truly believe isn't working, or there are no studies yet. So we don't have much that's been studied. We have vitamin B12. Certainly if someone is deficient in vitamin B12, replacing that is very beneficial and very cheap, which is nice. Folic acid, if someone is deficient, replacing that vitamin is very important. Someone has a history of alcohol abuse, and that may have contributed to their cognitive dysfunction now. Giving them thiamine or vitamin B1 would be important. Something like thyroid disease, as easy as that, if it's undiagnosed and we get to the bottom of it and treat it, that can help with memory as well. And then I often recommend to my patients that they use something called turmeric, which we often think of as a yellow spice. The extract is called curcumin. And when you use curcumin, you want it to be in a capsule form, because swallowing a whole lot of turmeric, if anyone knows what it tastes like, would not be very pleasant. It is quite really very well tolerated by patients, and it's an anti-inflammatory in general. Mm. So if people have osteoarthritis, other sorts of inflammatory conditions, it can help all of those things. So it's not unwise for just the general population to be taking some curcumin. A lot of people use it in their smoothies, things like that. But the capsule really is the appropriate amount, and it needs to have black pepper extract in it. So if you're going out to the store after this podcast and you want to buy some curcumin, you want to make sure it has black pepper extract in it. And the goal here is that we decrease inflammation in the brain. It does cross the blood-brain barrier. And by decreasing inflammation in the brain, perhaps we are improving our memory. There are no actual studies to this end yet, but hopefully there will be some studies. I want to mention also ginkgo. A lot of people are hung up on ginkgo. It's been used for years and years. There are actually studies now that disprove ginkgo having any improvement on memory, if you can follow that. So I'll tell people, you know, finish up what you have. It's not hurting you, but please don't spend your money on additional ginkgo. And then I'll just mention Prevagen because it's everywhere on TV. Mm-hmm. This is some sort of molecule from jellyfish, ironically, an animal that does not even have a brain. I will point that out to patients that I don't feel, certainly there are no studies showing Prevagen has helped, and I don't feel that it's something appropriate. Finally, I know I'm going on and on here, but there is one small study on coconut oil. Coconut oil was all the rage about 10 years ago for everything, mm-hmm. you know, for local wounds and things like that, but also to ingest a tablet of coconut oil or medium chain triglyceride fatty acids, mm-hmm. which is the equivalent. And until the cardiologist got wind of this, and God forbid, people were having cardiac issues. And then it turned right around and they said, don't ever take coconut oil. So I think that's where it stands now. But this very small study did show that specifically in patients with Alzheimer's disease, we would never want to give this to someone with vascular dementia who likely has underlying issues of diabetes, history of stroke, history of hypertension, or high cholesterol. You would not want to take coconut oil. But in patients with uncomplicated Alzheimer's disease, it has actually shown in a very small study to improve memory in 50% of patients. Wow. And notice this is the first time I'm using the term improve. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty miraculous. Mm-hmm. There was a branded version of coconut oil that was available on the market. I don't know if it's still available. There were a lot of side effects, generally GI side effects related to this product. So it may no longer be available, that and the bad press that coconut oil got. There are the occasional patient where I'll recommend it.
So Dr. Ostroff, we're talking a lot about studies, and since you're so engrossed in geriatrics, have you seen any other important studies out there relating to Alzheimer's and dementias that you think that our listeners should know about?
Sure, absolutely. So recently, very recently, there was a study that came out that I was very excited about. So prior to this study, there's sort of three tenets in geriatrics that we will mention to any of our patients with dementia that could improve their memory. One has been proven, and that's physical exercise. We generally recommend about 20 minutes of physical exercise a day, 5 days a week, which is less than is recommended for the average adult, which is 30 minutes a day. And this does not need to be remarkably vigorous, but it does need to get someone's heart rate up. The new study validates the other two realms, which we have already been recommending, one of which is socialization, being around other people, talking, explaining, you know, there are questions that come up. Tell me about your life. Tell me what you did for work. Things that you don't normally discuss on a day-to-day basis with perhaps your spouse or your children. That challenges our brains. And it's incredibly important. And this study has validated that it can slow down the loss of memory and even improve it, which is what exercise can do. Finally, the third domain is brain exercises or brain games. And whether that's crossword puzzles, Sudoku, word searches, even something as simple as a 12-piece jigsaw puzzle, which may seem very juvenile to some of the family members of a patient with dementia, can improve memory loss. So I'm very excited to know that these behavioral interventions I've been touting for the last 15 years are now finally proven.
That is so wonderful. And we agree with you. We both have dabbled in adult day, so we both know that that's what we kind of push all the time, is those three attributes of physical exercise, socialization, and brain exercises. We can't say that enough to the people that are coming to the adult day.
Absolutely, and our new program, the Memory Workshop, also works with members with early memory loss. So it's great to hear there's actually studies proving that there are benefits to these programs that we offer here at Mosaic Senior Life.
Absolutely.
So we hear a lot about, you know, the silver tsunami, all these baby boomers are coming of age. And I guess we're looking for sort of advice or guidance of what do baby boomers who may or may not be looking for their future, what can you tell them about what is available to them as far as care for their future?
Sure. So the first question you had, I believe, Mary, was about what is a geriatrician? So I will tout my profession and say that it's always a good idea when you're around the geriatric age of 65, which is very young, and people don't like to hear that they're geriatric. But, you know, when you're in your late 60s, it's a very young age. But seeing a geriatrician, getting a once over, so to speak, of what could be your risks in the future. Maybe your balance is off. Maybe you actually have always wanted to lose an extra 5 pounds, but I might tell you, I want you to gain 10. And people are very shocked by that. But as we get older, we like to have a slightly more padding so that if, God forbid, we do fall, we're less likely to break something. So I think seeing a geriatrician, even if it's one time only, getting a consult and having that sent back to your internal medicine and or family physician would be a wise idea. And we will be having a geriatric consult center available here at Mosaic Jewish Home, and there are several available throughout Southern Fairfield County as well. Also, as we age, one thing I want to mention is seeing an attorney, getting your advanced care planning in order, your goals of care. That would be something like a healthcare proxy. Getting your will taken care of, figuring out who would be the person or people to make decisions for you if you're unable to make them for yourself. We often wait on doing that. We don't like to think about, God forbid, not being able to make our own decisions, whether that's because of an accident, stroke, memory loss, but then it's too late. And we don't want to rely on assumption. We want to rely on fact. Finally, and what's very exciting is all the innovations in sort of home care and where we should be as we age. A lot of people want to stay at home. They may downsize their home to one level, but there are wonderful home care agencies that can, of course, often for a fee, provide home care assistance so that your activities of daily living, such as bathing or managing finances, can be taken care of, and you can be at home if that's your desire. But more and more facilities are coming into play, and I'm sure everyone listening has seen or heard of many of them. We have various different types. So one is called a CCRC, or a Continuing Care Residential Complex, and that is for patients who come in generally independent. They're able to do everything for themselves. They're interested in not being in charge of the housekeeping, all of the things that go into owning a home, which we know can be challenging and difficult. Instead, they want to have meals provided to them, but otherwise can do everything themselves. They can manage their finances, even cook in their apartments where there are often kitchens available. Go play paddleboard, go take a walk. And a lot of the newer complexes, such as Mosaic Concierge Living that we're building in Stamford, have these different availabilities. Certainly, pools, exercise, things such as that. The socialization component of living amongst other people is really key here. We've mentioned that as well. And with these CCRCs, there is a continuum. So it's not just independent living. As you live there and you age, you may then need assistance with certain things. So you may move into assisted living. They might be providing you your medications there. Perhaps you need a little help with bathing, but otherwise remain fairly independent. And so you're able to stay where you are. You have the same friends, doing perhaps as many of the same activities as you could. If you then develop some memory loss that's significant, you could move into the memory care component of the CCRC. And if you were to get your knee replaced and need a subacute rehab, that would be available as well. And if, God forbid, something more serious would befall a person, they could then move into the long-term care facility portion of the CCRC. So it really encompasses everything, as opposed to generalized assisted living, some of which also do have memory care, but are not affiliated with a long-term care facility, also known as a nursing home. And then it requires getting up and moving again. And I think we all know that change is difficult. And move is a large change. Sometimes it's a very positive stressor, not always negative, but going through those stressors is difficult. It's even more difficult as we age, perhaps as we lose a spouse or a loved one, and it's even more difficult if there's memory issues. So really staying in one place is key.
Very true. Well, listen, Dr. Ostroff, Mary and I want to thank you for coming on today's podcast, speaking about your new role here at Mosaic Senior Life, and more profoundly covering the important new studies, innovations, and programs not only offered by Mosaic Senior Life, but around the community that will hopefully benefit our seniors for decades to come. So we Absolutely. Appreciate having you on here today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Mosaic Senior Life's podcast, Senior Sense, Navigating Your Journey. This podcast series was created to provide information and stimulate discussion about important issues in aging services. I am Andrew Benoff, President and CEO of Mosaic Senior Life. Every day we are asked questions about aging, Alzheimer's disease, home care, and all aspects of the senior care navigation process. We hope that this podcast gave you valuable information and that we can be of assistance to you and your loved ones in your journey. Please stay tuned for additional episodes on topics that are meaningful to you. In the meantime, please connect with us at mosaicsl.org. That's mosaicsl.org, or call 1-833-MSL-LINK. 1-833-675-5465 for answers to your individual questions. Thank you.